Welcome to another episode of Spill the Chai with me, Ritha.
And me, Rabio.
Oh, I love your voice.
You've heard a lot of it recently.
I've never, come on.
Every day.
For a very long, at least the last 5 years, I think we've spoken most days.
That's wild.
But also, how did we not have anything
new to say? That's what I mean. It's so funny. It's just so funny.
I know. We are, it's not for everybody. And not all of my friendships are like this. I don't send multiple voice notes a day, every day, all day, every day.
Honestly, I'm just your stalker. I'm just like, hey, what are you doing? What did you have for dinner? What are you having for breakfast?
I want to know all of those details, though.
Me too.
I love it.
I'm obsessed.
What socks are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing my pearl ones. Hang on, let me show you.
How are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I love those ones. I'm wearing some nice cozy blue ones.
Gray?
They're like blue.
Oh, blue.
They're like they are a forget me not blue.
Yeah, forget me not blue.
Send me forget me nots.
Help me
to remember. I love it. You know, because they sample that. You know, George Michael.
Yeah.
In his song.
He did.
But then also in
Will Smith.
Men in Black.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Men in Black. It's so good. I love that first movie. Anyway, sorry.
I've not seen it for years. I'm going to have to watch it.
No, it's so funny.
So good. It's a classic.
Those little aliens, you know, those little ones.
Yeah.
I used to always say that.
With like a New York accent and they're like smoking fags. They're brilliant.
Exactly. And drinking coffee. I was like, Mama, that's you.
Your poor mum.
I know. I love her. She likes it though, really. She loves
She loves the bants.
She does love the bants. Right then.
Cool.
I'm cradling a cup of chai and it's time for us to spill the chai on our rich tea this week, which is quite like a nourishing topic, I think.
It is. So our rich tea topic this week is how we as adults tend to our inner child. What do we do as grown-ups to love on our inner child? This topic came up because a mutual friend of ours was actually just talking about some stuff that they went through during their childhood. And I think it brought up a lot for us. Mm. So we're not necessarily going to delve into childhood trauma.
No.
But there are so many things that we do as grown-ups now as part of our healing, our growth, and I think that sharing this will hopefully be useful, insightful, and maybe give someone who's going through that growth journey too, a little bit of hope and optimism. Because if we can do it, you can do it too.
No, it's true though. It is, because, you know, there have definitely been points in my life where you don't feel like you'll ever get past a certain point of like, will I ever heal from this? But
or it's easy to feel stuck, right? Like a lot
it's
of
easy
us
to
can
feel
stuck with
or like
something.
There's no way out. And actually sometimes it's not that we need a way out, we need a way back in and to look inwards at ourselves.
Exactly.
Shall we talk just very briefly about what inner child is, because perhaps not everybody is familiar with that concept of inner child. I would say like it's the part of your being, you know, whether you want to say soul or psyche or, you know, just your entire being that still needs, like, that it's always a part of you. And I think maybe I spoke about this on a previous episode, but it's like I'm me now, but I'm still also 4-year-old Ritha and 15-year-old Ritha and 21-year-old Ritha. They're kind of like within me.
Yes.
And your inner child, like they need different things at different points, and for some people that can just be, you know, it can be like a very normal thing. It doesn't have to do anything with trauma. For others, it's about healing from trauma and kind of ensuring that your inner child is seen and held. And it's kind of just honoring that part of yourself that wouldn't have known how to receive that kind of trauma or deal with that kind of trauma at a young age, but now you're able to do that in retrospect by honoring those feelings and working through them as a grown-up.
Definitely.
I don't know if that's a good
I think that's a great explanation. And I think, yeah, I think I would sort of embellish that to say that you're right. It's these different moments, these different moments in time, you know, and you could probably ask me what age is my inner child, and there's different ones. There's like a 5-year-old one or a 7-year-old one. There's a 13, and there's probably like a late stage one, like an 18 or a 19-year-old somewhere in there. And at those various points in time, there were probably some unmet needs or things that happened or were continuing to happen, which were too much for me to handle, you know, or too much for anybody to handle at that age. So yeah, it's great now as an adult, and touch wood and all blessings, you know, that I have in my life, are able to deal with them, continue to grow and thrive with some kind of perspective now. So the things that we do as adults, really, for me, is about meeting that unmet need. It's mm-hmm. meeting those needs, and sometimes the wounds are so deep, or the need is so much, that you can't really, for me, you can't ever love on your inner child enough. Like, you've mm-hmm. you know, just like you can't love on an actual child enough. There's no such thing as spoiling a child with love, in my opinion.
And we're worthy of that same love.
100%, and even more. And so there are so many things now that I think we do, little and big, to honour that. So maybe we can take it in turns. Like, I can talk about one thing, you can talk about one thing, or whatever, but there's so many little things. So one of the things that I still do, particularly if I find that I'm in a situation where I struggle to read people's emotions, or I detect or feel, because I'm hyper empathetic, feel that, I don't know, someone might be displeased or angry, is there's a couple of things. I'll actually just straight out ask the person, how are they feeling, so that I know, rather than second guess the emotion, because mm-hmm. an old version of me, and I may still fall into this trap, would try and appease someone's, try and own someone's emotion, particularly negative emotions, to try and be safe. You know, it's a safety mechanism. So now I don't do that. I don't own. And I actually tell myself in my mind, you know, whether it's my partner or somebody at work or whatever, I will say, in my mind, I'll say, you don't own the other person's emotion. That is not for you to own. And I repeat it and repeat it. And it just gives me that sense of, I don't need to do anything here. If somebody has a need that they want from me, they can ask me. I won't go out of my way, you know, if I care about this person, I will ask them, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. And all what that does is it takes things out of my head and into real life. And that person can vocalise, oh, I'm just tired. And often Alex will just be like, oh, do you know what? I'm not tired. I didn't get enough sleep. Mm. And it's great. He's not pissed off at me. He's not tired. You know, he's not angry at me. If there's someone at work, you know, oh, my kid was being annoying this morning, I'm really tired, but it's okay, you know, there's got nothing to do with me, got nothing to do with deadlines that I have. And it sounds like such a little thing, but if you grew up with, I don't know, a parent who didn't know how to manage their emotions and their anger, and it used to fill up the house, then and you would tiptoe on eggshells around them, it's you know, and I say tiptoeing around eggshells because you've seen walls being punched, you've seen things being thrown, you've seen, you know, just out really horrible outbursts of anger. As a child, I probably told myself that it's because I didn't do something right or something wasn't made in a certain way. You know, I've seen dinners thrown in the sink because they weren't, something was missed or they didn't like it. Stuff like that, really horrible. So now as a grown-up, I can sort of tend to that little girl at various ages and say, hey, that person's just, what that person is doing is not right. They shouldn't behave like that. It's not your fault. You don't have to be in that situation. You don't have to own that emotion. Mm-hmm. And actually, if the other thing is, along with that, if you don't agree with someone, you can voice that. Whereas the young version of me wouldn't dare have mm-hmm. a voice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's so many little things now around words of affirmation
mm-hmm.
that now with more understanding and perspective, I still repeat to myself. And those are loving words and wisdom that I try to like hold on to. And that's one of the more day-to-day ones that is less about going roller skating, and I can talk about that, and it's less about taking creative portraits, and we can talk about that. And it's more of it was one of the first things I think that I had to learn, not until late 20s, 30s.
Yeah. I would agree. It's because what happens is you know, that parent or parental figure, their voice becomes your inner voice to self. And it's about unlearning that and having a yeah. new inner voice. And it can be really hard. And I actually, one of the things that I sometimes find really hard is not to repeat some of those behaviours that I was taught as, this is, like you said, having a parent who didn't know how to deal with their emotions. If you're taught how to handle, how to handle certain situations in a particular way that is not healthy, then it's, you know, you have to work really hard at not
repeating it.
Not, yeah, also, but it's difficult when that is what you were shown and taught for such a lot.
If it's modelled.
It's not even that it was such a large part of my life, but it was at such a instrumental
age
where you're really learning how to cope and yeah, so I can say that is something that I'm still trying to unlearn, because as much as I would love to be a perfect parent, I learned pretty fast that doesn't exist. And
it doesn't.
You know, even in trying to not fuck up my children, I feel like I'll fuck them up just by like trying so hard and not. But hopefully not, inshallah not. But no, I think it is rewriting that inner voice. And I think by connecting with our inner child, like some people call it reparenting as well,
yeah,
like
so
they don't they might not use the word inner child as such, but they'll call it reparenting, where again it's like it's almost like retraining. It's seeing that you went through something, and it is very much about honoring that and giving yourself the grace, the time, the love, the respect to kind of really feel those things, because actually you weren't allowed to.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that time. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I get really emotional talking about it, because it's, you're having to be the person that you needed at those ages. And there's a grief that goes with that, because
yeah.
there's something missing there. So you know, I can vocalise it here, but I wish that as one parent, if they were going through, you know, they were behaving in a way that wasn't acceptable, the other modelled silence.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I have to unlearn that And I still have to do it. It takes a lot for me to vocalize if I'm unhappy with someone's behavior, and also the shame of expressing my own anger because I had a parent who couldn't express it in healthy ways.
Yeah,
as in they couldn't vocalize it. They used to just, you know, was horrible.
No, exactly, and I think, you know, I just want to hug you firstly.
It's okay.
No, but you know what I'm like.
It's good to get the tears out and
But like you say, there is a grief that goes with that, because actually sometimes, and again, a really large part of becoming a parent for me, it did open. I often said, especially after Zora was born, that it felt like not only was she born, that I was born, in the sense that I felt very much like a child, like, because that's how I described it then. What I would say now is that it opened up parental wounds that had never truly healed, because actually I'd moved away from those things. But having, not always do you have to have your own children, but for me, having my own children really brought back a lot of things to the fore that I've had to deal with, and it's been really difficult, and it is still difficult, because I feel like there are new points of growth and points of being stagnant, and you know such as life, because we get
ever evolving, caught up in the day to day. Yeah,
exactly. But there is a grief, like you say, in the sense when, in those moments where you feel quite childlike yourself, like even as a grown-ass woman, like
I still can't believe.
Yeah, no, like what the hell? What? Like I have two children, what the hell? And like, and in those moments, sometimes you really, really feel like a child. And I think those parts come out of us because actually there was that unmet need. And sometimes I feel like I don't behave in the best way that I can, because in that moment I want to be held, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
I think that's where I think the grief is, in the fact that I wasn't shown how to be in those moments.
Yes.
And I feel helpless and powerless.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what to do with my emotions sometimes, and it gets too much for me. But that's been really useful to kind of pinpoint that, actually, because it is a grief, because actually I want to be held in those moments, but I can't because I'm the adult. And it's like, hang on a second, I want to be a child here. And sometimes I do vocalize that to my children. I say, you know what, actually, some, like right now, You're sad, I'm sad too, and I just want to sit here and cry. And I was like, let's just all sit here and cry. We have done that before.
Yeah.
And then we'll, like, crying turns into laughter. And yeah, anyway. So
I cry with Rafe when he's upset, you know. It's like sometimes he's upset about something and I can see why he's upset. You know, something that's important to him, or he had his expectations set here and they were dashed, and that's a really big deal for him, and I can see that. And so I just cry with him, you know. I'm like, you know, your happiness is my happiness. And so, you know, he's used to seeing me. I won't hide my emotions. The other day, it really broke me. We'd put him to bed and everything, came downstairs, and about 10 minutes later, he called for me. He was like, "Mommy, I'm thinking of something and it's making me cry." He sat up in bed and he was just like, "When we all die and we're in heaven, what if we can't find each other in the clouds?" And I just burst into tears. I had to like pull him close. I was like, "We'll be together. Do not worry about that." I had to like explain, you know, what happens. And oh my God, it just got me.
It does. There's so many moments. Like, I feel like, you really have to face a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you do.
When you are in a parental role, like sometimes that's not always with your own children. It might be with like friends' children or your own nieces or nephews, but you're kind of, you come to a point in life where it's a very stark, like, mirror where you're looking at your inner child, and you have to face it, you have to work on that. And sometimes it's sitting and crying with your children and then laughing and, you know, kind of just embracing that it's okay to have all of our emotions.
Yeah, definitely.
That's like, because I think a lot for me is like retraining my inner voice, as you know, you said. It's not that sort of more fun, like actual playful joyfulness that we also do love and do really lean into, but actually there's a lot to be said in retraining our inner voices, and not, because I honestly was made to feel like I was a monster, and so I wasn't allowed anger or, you know, like bigger emotions. But same. Especially anger was really taken away from me, or like made me to, even though it's a valid emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of what I'm trying to do for myself now is check myself when I need to be checked, like, you know, calm down with her, but also honoring my anger. Yeah. It's a valid emotion, and I allow myself that emotion because it was something that was not allowed, basically. You know, I would still express that emotion, but it was what's that word? I can't quite find that word right now, but it was, I want to say, like, it's not villainized, but, you know, the word, I can't think of it. It was made to be as something bad. So part of my sort of honoring my inner child or reparenting is allowing myself all my emotions.
Yes.
Just like, although I have to say, part of this is also trying to regulate my own emotions also. And I do that very much by trying to help my children regulate their emotions. So like, one of the easiest ways is I allow them all of their emotions. I'm like, you can be angry, that's fine. I was like, you can't scream at me for 10 minutes because that's not helpful. I was like, if you really feel an urge to scream, you can scream into a pillow, because when you're screaming out loud, it makes me feel very sad and I can't help you, and it doesn't help you either. But I said, if you really want to scream, then scream in a pillow, that way you get it out and then we can talk about it when you're ready. So it's kind of trying to give them tools to have those emotions,
yep,
but in a way that doesn't overwhelm them.
Yeah, definitely.
So they're able to recenter, because I think that was the other thing that I was never taught, like, I think similar to you, where I had like extremes. So I had like one parent that was like, I guess, very emotional in one way. And then I had the other parent who was not as emotional in some ways and quieter, like more silent, I suppose. And then you're not shown like an in-between. You're not shown like how moderate. To center.
You're not, you know, it, yeah, exactly. You're not shown moderate. You're either silent or full outbursts, for sure.
No, exactly. So I do want them to try it. But I always give myself the caveat that I am not perfect, and I don't want them to ever think that I'm perfect. And Zora has a tendency, especially, to say, like, you know, say if I've snapped at her and I've shouted at her, and she gets upset, and, you know, rightly so. When I apologize, I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have handled that, that situation like that. I should have taken myself off and tried to like model like how I should have behaved, I suppose. She'll respond like, it's okay, mama, and I always reply,
you're like, no, it's not
okay. Yeah, I said, it's not okay. And I was like, I might be your mama and you might think the world of me, but it's not okay. I was like, if I tell them all the time, I was like, if I ever behave a certain way and you do not like it, you tell me. Because I was like, you're always allowed to tell me that you don't like something if I do something, or if I, you know, if it's a rule, whatever it is, I want them to tell me that they don't like it.
Even
if
it's communicate.
Yeah, I want them to be able to feel safe enough to tell me about myself, because I'm not above that.
Yeah.
With even my children, I don't
rule by believe fear in that. Or anything like
no,
that.
No, I want them to feel safe enough. I want them to respect me, don't get me wrong. I will check them when they're being bratty, but at the same time, but also that creates a sense of safety as well.
Yeah,
they need to know their boundaries. Like, okay, no, we can't do that with Mama. Which is why they, you know, behave differently with me and Chris, because we have different boundaries.
So
it's like a weird dynamic, isn't it? Because not am I only catering to my own inner child, I have my own actual children.
But
I don't want to project onto. So
definitely, I've always tried to sort of do that with Rafe, in that if he doesn't like something, or he wants something, or he doesn't want something, I always encourage him to vocalise it. And, you know, alhamdulillah, he's pretty good at that. And if he's upset or angry, he does take himself off to the sofa. He does thump his fists on the cushions. He does, you know, screaming into the sofa. He gets his tears out. And, you know, when I ask him, do you want a hug, or do you want to be left on your own for a while? Mm-hmm. He can tell me. And you know, it's over in a flash. He's allowed all his feelings. He is. And I do sometimes have to check Alex, and he's getting better at this, which is, you know, don't stonewall him just because he's expressing himself. You know, once he's calmed down, actually talk to him about how he's feeling. Just because you don't like it doesn't mean that it's not valid. So you let him have it. And so now we're pretty good like that. But yeah, it's tricky. It's one thing that I had to learn again later in life, which is I am allowed to access all my full range of emotions. And we're not meant to be frigging happy as Larry all the time. We are supposed to, we actually are meant to feel more than one thing at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And that's been a very late learning. I mean, as late as last year, truly understanding what that meant.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely been later as well for me, in like that, what that actually looks and feels like. And I would say, you know, it's an ongoing process. It's like I change and grow, hopefully, and the girls change and grow, and their boundaries become, you know, they will have to, you re-establish new boundaries each time,
as they grow and they want more out of life, and they're testing and understanding more things. And for sure,
exactly. I think it's so, when you were describing Rafe allowing, like, you know, his whole emotions, I just think it just, you know, I also saw imagined little Rubia, because don't forget, I remember little Rubia. She was the cutest.
Oh.
I was in love with you. You know how much I loved you.
I know.
I honestly, I know I've said this before, but honestly, Rubia was like, I just thought she was like this magical unicorn.
Oh my God.
And I was just like, oh my God, I did? And like, then you'd like, no, you're way away from like our uncle's house and stuff. And I'd just be like, there goes my unicorn magical friend. It was just so cute. And now when the girls have like little friendships like that, I'm like, oh, I know how that feels.
It is magic when you're when you make friends when you're little. I remember like coming down to Birmingham, and I knew that when we'd come, we'd like have the run, like we'd have the run of the house, and we'd just go get lost in our imaginary world, and Myra will be like tagging along, and Myra will be tagging along, but we'd be like, oh,
I know, yeah, like leave us alone, just go, I don't know,
we just want to be, we just want to play together.
yeah we did. And I always remember one of the best moments was, even though I had a fever and I was wearing like my best dress, and we went to our other uncle's, like, I think it was like his 50th, it was Uncle Colin.
Oh yeah,
and it
you
was
were poorly.
Like, I had a fever, yeah, but I was fine. But I had a fever.
Did I make you dance?
It was so weird, because every time I wore that dress, I loved that dress, but every time I wore it, I always had a fever.
Maybe
I don't
it was
understand.
Just was it velvet?
It was a haunted dress. No, it was cotton, and it was like what like teenagers and stuff are wearing now, and grown ass women actually as well. But it was like a strappy black dress with like white ditzy kind of flowers floral. All over it. And I used to wear, very similar to the high neck I'm wearing now, the ribbed top, but it was a cream one. I used to wear like a little cream t-shirt with short sleeves. Oh, I remember it so clearly. And then it was just me and you dancing on the dance floor. Front of the DJ.
Yeah, like, in front of the big speakers. I remember
they were huge.
Not
like
being
massive.
Able to hear anything like the next day. Wasn't there like a little bar or something? It was like in a social club.
It was a social club. And I swear there was nobody else dancing except
just me and you.
For ages. We were just like, because they had like all the disco lights.
Didn't they have
and
like
stuff.
Wakefield like Saturday night on? And we were like,
yeah, it was that era.
I love that.
We had like the you know the best time.
I'd loved any opportunity to dance.
Same, even and still now, nothing has changed in that way. That's another way that I honour my inner child.
Kitchen
is by
dancing.
Yeah, and I did make Zora join me for 5 minutes yesterday. I was like, just dance for 5 minutes and then you can watch TV, all right? And then we danced and she loved it and we were like giggling and stuff. Because we used to do it every single day, like 3 times a day we would be dancing in the kitchen together. Obviously when she was
brilliant.
At home.
Yeah.
So, no, it is. It's really freeing. And actually,
I danced
that's like,
with Rani today, but she didn't understand what was happening. She was just like, she kept bringing toys to my feet and I was just like, no, I'm dancing. You're supposed to be dancing with me. She was like, play with this plushy toy. You know when they grab things in their mouth and they shake it really
like they're attacking a squirrel.
Yeah, like literally.
I love that.
She just wasn't like, she wasn't into it.
That's so cute.
There are fun things like that we do. Like I go roller skating now because
I know I love it so much for you.
Well,
I'm so
I do
scared,
it
but
because
I really
there were so
to.
Many things as a child that I wanted to do that we couldn't afford or I wasn't encouraged to do. Like
same.
I used to be able to do like handstands and things like that. Mm-hmm. I think I would have really enjoyed gymnastics. I asked,
I'd loved it.
Never went.
Yeah.
I took
same.
Took an interest in music as a teenager. I wanted to learn to play the guitar and the drums. Again, didn't have access to that. There were so many things that I didn't have access to or wasn't encouraged to do where I would have really loved to have done it. Mm-hmm. And roller skating was the one thing I remember we went to. So in the 6 weeks holidays, they do it now, but we used to call it play scheme. So you just dump your kid
that.
For like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
In the holidays, so they go do like fun things. They do like indoor games, outdoor games, and then there was one.
It was
summer,
quite fun.
One summer I went, and they took us every week to roller skating, and never in my life did I, you know, when you do something and you think this is it, this is for me. Never in my life have I felt so free. It was like it was completely euphoric for me.
It's kind of like flying, but. On
it
the
was
land still because
exactly.
you go really fast.
And I wasn't sure if I would get it, but straight away got the skates on. Someone showed me all you have to do is lean from one side to the other. That's it. I got it straight away. Was skating, and it was in the 1990s, and the song had come out. So I don't know what year it was, but it was the, you know, the song where it's like, say boom boom boom, let me hear say
whale.
Out there,
it was
brothers.
Been like
1990s.
Yeah, Out Here Brothers. It was like, that must have been about 1996.
Yeah.
No, actually, 1994, maybe, actually.
Maybe, it was around
I'm
that.
Gonna look it up.
So there was like, I remember that song playing, but there were so many songs. Like, it was a proper roller skating place. It was made for roller skating. And I never wanted to leave. I could have done it for the rest of my life. Oh. And then, obviously, we just didn't go after that. But I remember my parents buying me a set of roller skates. And I wore them and wore them and wore them. Even when my feet got big, I would scrunch my toes in them because I wanted to go roller skating. And I would skate around the street in the summer. I just loved it so much. And I wish that I'd never stopped because I loved that feeling. And then it wasn't until we were in lockdown last year, no, 2 years ago, because this pandemic has been going on since forever.
It's third year now.
Anyway, so yeah, I got TikTok and there were so many like Californian like roller skating babes just living their best life. And it just brought it back to me how much I wanted to also live my best roller skating life.
Yes.
And I just see this child, this 8-9-year-old child who was just skating to music with not a care in the world. And that's all I want to do is skate to music. So I roller skate now. I go to lessons, but I'm itching to find like roller disco places. So I can just skate to music, and that's all I want to do. Like, if I could do one thing with my life, if money was no object, I'd open my own roller skating rink and I'd serve amazing food, have a really cool DJ with all the best tunes.
Be so much fun.
And it would just be like adults only. And then kids can come like during the day for like kids stuff, and we do like sensory, there maybe might be a sensory room for like really young ones, because shout out to the parents who are fucking tired but they don't want to be stuck at home. So yeah, if someone wants to like invest, if I've got a like a venture capitalist listener and they want to make my roller skating dream come true, let's go source a venue. You give me your
sponsor
money,
Rubia, please.
I'll give you return on that investment, because roller skating is the thing. So yeah, for my,
it is a thing.
For the 9-year old me, she gets to roller skate, and for the adult me, I get to try and not break bones. Shout out to Maheen.
I know. Oh, bless her.
I know.
That did scare me though. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get roller skates, and then Maheen broke her wrist, and I was like, maybe not. No, it's so exciting. I do love that. I love that feeling, and I know exactly the feeling that you're talking about, because I felt that on my bicycle.
Oh.
I loved having my bike so much. And actually, I loved it as like a young kiddo, and then I loved it again. Actually, it was a saviour for me, having a bike and riding it, like not even that long ago. It must have been just like, I guess 15, 16 years ago, like when me and Chris were first together. And he'd gone travelling for a few months with his bestie, and I felt so depressed, and it wasn't because I missed him, sorry Chris, but it was because of the fact that he was getting to live a dream that I wanted for myself, and it made me feel really, really sad.
Aww.
And so I was going through a really, really bad patch. But anyway, so I used to go riding on my bike that whole, like pretty much for those like for 3 months non-stop.
I
rode my bike
you.
And listened to music and just went to the park and rode around and for hours and hours. It was great. It was so much fun. But it, you know, again, it's like having these tools to be able to cope. I'm not saying I coped in the best way during that time, but that was like one release.
Yeah.
That was one way of releasing.
They release. Oh, I mean, they release so much, you know, happiness into my blood.
Just, yeah, exactly.
It's fun. I always feel so good afterwards, during, even before. Yeah. Actually, beforehand, I felt like shit. This weekend, last weekend, I didn't want to go. It was on day 2 period, and I was just like, I can't be fucking arse. All I want to do is go to McDonald's, eat fries, and then come back home. And I made myself go. I still got the fries afterwards, but...
Oh, yeah.
I was so glad that I did, because I got to try out my new skates. So,
I love your new skates, they're so cute.
Me too. I love that for us. I just love how we are giving ourselves that permission to do all the healing, loving, fun things.
Yeah.
That make us, I guess they help us become, they help us feel whole.
Yeah, and I'm a better person all round when I tend to any of my needs, you know, yeah, just like
exactly.
I'm just a whole lot better for it. And you know, I'm kind of realizing that I need to honor my inner child a bit more. I'm like, yeah, I have so many dreams and stuff like that. It just kind of made me a little bit more.
Tell me about them.
Well, I don't really know, like, right this second. Although, I did write down, I think, did I tell you this already? I wrote down that I want to have my own exhibition. I want to have an exhibition where I share some photos.
I don't
know
what that for you.
I don't know what the photos would be or when or how. It's I have no time limit on it at all. But I'd love to. I know that
you have so many stories you could share. You could really theme some things up, and I could see that for you.
Yeah, and to be honest, I wouldn't entirely mind if I actually curated like other people's work either, like, so that would be really cool. But yeah, I mean, there are just so many things that I want to do, but I don't, sometimes it takes me a little while to figure out what it is, because it'll be like a feeling inside me,
and as then opposed to like an explicit thing. It's like a,
as you're opposed, just, yeah.
But that is that, you know, a lot of people work like that, especially those that are not neurotypical, basically. And this is kind of how I'm leaning into the year myself, which is I'm not necessarily doing specific things,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just following things that I think make me feel good. So I'm mm-hmm. creating stuff that makes me feel good. Is it a reel? Is it a picture? Is it about pouring cups of tea in, like, is it honoring, is it the fact that I really love this song and I want to make a conceptual picture about a song? All I'm doing is that, because if I follow traditional ways of, and this, I don't know if you relate to this, but if I follow traditional ways of, I want to do this specific thing by this specific time, it don't work. It's got to feel, it's got to come from the soul out. It can't be from the
That's
out
why I don't.
In.
And it's like, I literally have so much respect, because there are some people who can create a lot of like honest, authentic work at a higher output. You know, they can create a lot of stuff that are very high quality and very authentic and honest and true to themselves, and I love that. But I know for me, that's not how I operate.
Yeah.
I work at a much slower pace, and I really need that kind of, I mean, I have a lot of ideas all of the time, but I genuinely just don't have like the time, or sometimes I don't have the energy, or sometimes I don't have like
the brain,
the
capacity.
Actual tools. I don't have the tools to be able to actually make it come to life. But I don't stop myself from having, you know, dreaming up ideas and stuff. But I work at a much, much slower pace, and like part of honoring myself is honoring the fact that I work at a different pace to other people,
absolutely.
And I'm not going to just churn out stuff for the sake of turning up stuff,
yeah,
you know, just for anybody. So
I love that.
Yeah, I think there are just, you know, like having listened to our conversation, there are just so many ways that we can honor our inner child.
So many.
And and it doesn't, it's not like you say about roller skating or, you know, doing creative portraits or, you know, it could be really simple, like taking time to colour in and draw, or just read a book or go for a walk. It can be very, very simple.
It could be giving yourself permission to be like, you know what, I'm not doing these chores today.
Yeah.
I need to rest.
Yes, exactly.
Listen to your body. Something that often I wasn't
even
encouraged to do. It was, you know.
Yeah. No, exactly. You bypass what your actual needs are. And it's so funny. Sometimes I think Zora weaponizes this, actually. She's just like, my body says that I need something. And I'm like, is that your body? Or is that just you? Do you need that chocolate?
You've created a monster.
But it won't be a
You've
chocolate.
You've created a monster.
But it's so cute. She, it is, you know, funny. She'll just be like, I think my body's saying that maybe I would like to go to the cinema today, and so she'll say it like that. But I love that.
Girl, I
love that,
feel you. Like, that's me every week.
I know. I was just like, she sometimes
is
very much
my body's telling me that these nails need to get redone. Like, they look.
Yeah, is your body or is it your ugly ass nails? I'm joking. Yeah.
They are ugly. Yes, oh my
it's
god.
Like, no, they're not at all. I was teasing. But yeah, no, it's just, I read somewhere that like serving your inner child or reparenting, it depends on the trauma level, of course.
For
But there are
sure.
small ways of doing that. And I think a great starting point for anybody who's perhaps starting on this journey is like speaking to that inner voice. Is it your actual thoughts and feelings, or is it a voice from your past that's telling you that you can't do this, or you can't rest, and you have to keep going, and you have to push? And it could obviously be societal constructs such as
100%.
capitalism
But
and,
also, a lot of it, a lot of, I mean, I didn't go into mass amount of details, but a lot of it, if you're also, I don't know, if you happen to be a brown woman or a person of color, you know that there is sort of generational cycles
Oh,
that are
yes.
placed upon you that you then have to unlearn and break so that you don't pass that down. And a lot of my later years in life has been just that. Some my parents don't agree with, some I don't, but quite frankly, I don't care what they agree and don't agree with. And it, yeah, and good for us for doing the work. And also, if you're starting this journey, therapy will do it.
Okay. Don't be a broke ass bitch like me trying to therapize myself constantly. Go get that therapy. Or follow me on Patreon so I can at least have a good amount of followers that could pay for my therapy.
Yes,
Because
same.
I have been waiting for over 2 years, let it be said. But in the meantime, there are tools. I have enough privilege and enough I have many privileges that afford me to be able to take the time to reflect in this way and to honor my inner child and to research and to have that capacity to try and therapize myself a little bit. So just wanted to acknowledge that because there is a lot of privilege in that as well. And I mean, sometimes, of course, folks need medicine first, so it might be that you need like some form of medication. It'll have to be rich tea for another time, but I will just say here that I'm really, really unhappy about the way that, in general, that all baddies, inverted commas, or villains, they all basically have mental health issues, and then they're all villainized and
Villainized.
demonized for these mental health issues. They're criminalized and stuff like that. And I'm like, hang on a second. You're telling me that he's actually got a mental health illness and then now he needs to be imprisoned. I'm like,
It's probably
And
not the
then,
best.
no, it's not the best. So I'm just like, I'm
Whole
having a
epiphany
whole
moment.
dialogue. Yeah, dialogue with myself about how people are portrayed in that way, or often like glamorized in a weird way as well,
Oh, for
like
being
murderers and
unhinged and
stuff.
stuff.
Yeah, like it becomes like a
Hey, look at me.
glamorization. No, exactly, but actually, do they need support?
Yeah,
That's
exactly.
why abolish prisons. That's why, put the most vulnerable at the heart of our communities. Although I did, oh, this conversation that I had with hopefully a new mum friend. It was quite sobering, and she actually is doing a degree in social science, and she thinks that democracy, as we know it, I mean, I think that democracy is very much on a border line anyway right now, and we'll come to that shortly anyway. But I think she thinks that in the next 5 to 10 years, like welfare and all of that kind of support systems that we do have will be phased out. And I was just like, oh, it's scary, but it's
It's very
not that
scary.
far from the truth in some countries. Like, I don't.
Well, we've already taken the last decade has already taken those steps, but that's for another podcast episode for sure.
But it takes us to Fool
Fool
of
of
the
the week.
Week. So
Well,
many
many
fools.
fools.
Which
Which
one
one
to
to choose?
choose? And It was kind of a good segue because, I mean, I guess ultimately we want to put Priti Patel, but she's only the face of these
bills.
She's the current face of these things.
Police and like, crime and sentencing bill.
And the national, what's it called? The National Borders Bill as well.
The National Borders Bill. And then there's a voter suppression bill, but I don't think she's the face of it. But I mean, the Tories in general.
But, you know, whilst people are laughing at Boris Johnson and did the party happen, didn't the party happen? Personally, you know, whilst it really irks me, I also see it as like a real
distraction
tactic by them, which they're very good at doing. They're very good at gaslighting a whole nation of people consistently for the last like nearly 12 years. But, you know, Priti Patel is dangerous. There's no doubt about the fact that it's not only her, but she is the face of it. Do you want to speak to... I mean, luckily, it didn't pass in the House of Lords.
The Police and Crime Sentencing Bill.
Yes.
It didn't. It was slim margins. And I think that's down to the fact that there are a few Tories that are unhappy with their own party.
Yes.
And also, it's down to the Kill the Bill campaign, which... they've been working so hard on not just the Police and Crime Sentencing Bill. They've been showing up for the other bills as well, like the Nationality and Borders Bill.
Yes.
The one around voter suppression. So it's not been made into law because it hasn't passed through the House of Lords, which is good. And we want to keep it that way. We want to keep it that way. We don't want these changes made into law. There's a really good post, and I'll put it in the show notes, from the Runnymede Trust, and I've saved it to share on Instagram. But basically, if you're an ethnic minority in the UK, there are several ways in which your rights are more at risk than, say, your white counterparts, because we already know from when the police are involved, when it comes to protesting, they're more likely to use violent means to restrain you than they are with white people. We also know that the Nationality and Borders Bill has far-reaching consequences if you're not white, essentially. And then also the voter suppression bill, there are so many people that don't have a form of ID, and they tend to be from ethnic minorities, so we are a lot more impacted compared to those that I guess are ethnically white. So it's not a good place to be, the UK. I fucking hate this island at the moment. I hate this government. They can all burn, and it feels really bleak at the moment, because in terms of opposition, I mean, I love Zara Sultana, but if you look at the leader of the Labour Party, he's just a policeman.
He's a Tory in disguise, isn't he? I just feel like, I mean, his Loki has posted a video on the sort of the involvement of Keir Starmer in the past of certain campaigns, and in terms of like, I think, you know, like the MI5 and police and all of that
surveillance
and
how that plays
really
into
awful things,
anti-terrorism laws, which disproportionately disproportionately affect ethnic minorities, and they are quite frankly unjust as well. So yeah, it's fucked.
It is. So we'd like to put, I mean, obviously Priti's always in there, but, you know, seriously, she's in there for many, many, many reasons and many, many crimes herself, and along with the Tory party. And I think, like, this constant surveillance of people, and I actually, a friend posted something in their stories, and it really hit home in the sense that I was like, actually, no, we do need to stop doing this amongst ourselves. And it's this in order to sort of abolish physical prisons, we need to abolish the way that we uphold each other and kind of have this like surveillance kind of weird way that we police each other, essentially, that we do it even outside of physical prisons. And I think, you know, that's something to reflect on as we get further and further away from democracy in any shape or form.
Yeah,
because I truly feel that is the way that they've been in power for far too long. I don't think a party should be, you know, still in power for such a long time, firstly, because they're stale. And and if we look at other countries like Austria or France, the way that they treat, well, aside from refugees, but their own citizens as well, it's shocking, to be honest. I don't agree with the way that they're behaving at all. So it's scary times, isn't it?
Scary. So that takes us on to what we're loving. Wow. So we said that we would do a sort of special skincare segment of what we're loving. I am just coming out of an eczema flare up. So I shared on my Instagram last week a reel of my eczema recovery routine. It's super simple. Now I've used The Ordinary's squalane for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been part of my routine anyway. And I've also been using the Dermalogica barrier repair, which sort of seals in the moisture. So that none of those things are new, but the sort of newer product to my list is the Inky List Oat Cleansing Balm. Mm-hmm. And it's mega cheap, but it's just full of all the best ingredients. The most important
it's
one.
It's fantastic.
That's amazing. It takes off all your makeup.
It does, really gently.
Because it's oil-based. The best thing about that, though, inside that product is the colloidal oatmeal.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it's oats. It's oats that's been soaked, so it releases all the good stuff. And oats, or like the kernels of like the oatmeal, they have something in it which really penetrates the layers of the skin beyond. So although it's a cleanser, it's a very mm-hmm. hydrating cleanser, so you don't feel like it's stripping your skin, and you don't feel like it's adding moisture to it either. But it's great. It's just so good. And if you've got really sensitive skin or dry skin this winter, like a lot of us, anything that has colloidal oatmeal is your best friend in absolute emergencies. But I wouldn't advocate using this because they're not cruelty free. Aveeno have colloidal oatmeal in there. However, they're owned by Johnson & Johnson. They're not cruelty-free. But if your skin is in real SOS, which mine has been, sometimes I've got no choice. But yeah, it's...
But it's easy to access as well, isn't it? Like Aveeno is sold like in a lot of high street shops and supermarkets.
It's affordable. Yeah. And I have used it and do use it when nothing else works, mm-hmm. because there's nothing that it's that particular ingredient which is accompanied by things like shea butter,
mm-hmm.
that just beyond the outer layer of the skin goes it goes deep enough to help your skin hold on to that moisture. When your skin is compromised or damaged anyway, or you've got eczema, you might often find that you put something on it, but the next day it's just as dry, and that's because when it's not repaired, moisture comes out, so you have to replenish it constantly I have to, around my eyes, put something around twice a day to help it repair so that it can hold onto the moisture, onto it can repair yeah. itself. And it takes yeah. a good 2-3 maybe even a month to heal. I mean, mine's still dry and it's been like 2-3 weeks. I found out it's, well, I've always known this, it's hormone related, but anyway. So the yeah. so the Inkey List oatmeal cleanser has been like a recent hero product. When I've not got an eczema flare up though, I really enjoy the face mask, the superfood face masks from Elemis. They're really nice.
Oh, okay, cool. I've never tried them actually.
I use the green one and that's good. What else am I been using when I'm not in flare-up situations? My brain's gone blank.
So obviously I'm not going to be using my cleanser anymore. Sad times. By yeah, Youth to the People, because they've sold out to fucking L'Oreal, which is really annoying for me.
I know. I'm just like, I saw it and sent it to you. I was like, oh.
Yeah. I know. I mean, luckily, I do have like a bottle and a half left or something. So, like, I've got a spare bottle and then I've got one that I'm using. So I've got one for, because it is amazing. It's a super food cleanser. I'll have to find something similar because it doesn't dry out your skin when you wash, but it takes off makeup as well. It takes off like quite heavy makeup as well, like if I have concealer and foundation and stuff on, which I did the other day. It's very, very gentle, but it takes off everything. And then the other thing that I have been loving, and I think my skin's been loving, although I've had breakouts again, but I don't think it's anything to do with the stuff that I'm putting on my skin. I think it's hormonal, because it was just after I'd had like COVID in my period, which is, you know, I still think is rude. So fucking rude. But it was the Heckles, you know, the one that we were given in Aja's goodie bags, so for the
vitamin
book launch.
B, hyaluronic an algae, acid.
The algae plump and B3. Mm. That's what I had, and my skin loves it. So I was on. Only using it's finished now, that's why I'm using it in past tense. I'm gonna buy some more because I loved it. It's really, really hydrating, very, very gentle. And I'd put it on only at night and alongside the Upcircle night cream, which is also amazing. It's not oily or too heavy, and a little goes a long way, so they're like little pots, and they do like a refill scheme as well.
Good.
yeah and it's like, I think it's got like blueberry extract and stuff like that, and it's got things in there that are they're basically like a plant-based retinol type thing. So I noticed that like the texture of my skin has been really, really good. So even though I've had like breakouts, has been normal for me since, I mean, I blame lockdown, because I literally had not had a spot since until like we were in lockdown.
But the
texture and everything, it really, really hydrates overnight my face without it being too oily or too, you know, like pore clogging or anything like that. They're both very, very light. So I've been really loving using that combination.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look up what's in the Upcircle one, but I have a feeling that it is blueberry extract, and I was sent it as a PR product, but their, you know, their skincare range is very affordable, I would say. Also,
good.
Like mm-hmm. It's not too like compared to, say, even Youth to the People or a lot of things. Yeah, so like the night cream is with hyaluronic acid and niacinamide.
Niacinamide, yeah.
And what does it have on there? It has got, yes, repurposed. So it's got antioxidant-rich extract of repurposed blueberries, a byproduct of the juicing industry. So that's also what's really cool about UpCircle, is that a lot of their main ingredients for their products are byproducts of often
other
like
manufactured products,
coffee or juicing often and stuff like that. So they're rich in vitamin A. Cold pressed extract protects against blue light and is a source of pro retinol that works to minimize the signs of aging skin. I'm not worried about the aging skin, but it definitely could feel like the benefits of like skin texture, and do you know what I mean? Just makes your skin feel good and like nourished and stuff like that. So it's got a lot of good stuff in it, and it's $18.99, so I feel like it's quite a good price point. But it's a pot, and I will say, how long have I had it? I've had it for about 4 months, and I've still got half left. You can get these two little metal spatulas as well, like so you honestly only need like a pea size amount. A little of it goes a long, long way. So that's another thing. I know it sounds silly, but like, if I'm going to pay $18.99, I really like that it's last. Like, you know, because other products that I've bought, like Ren, they've got awesome products, but they're a lot more expensive. Like their little cream pumps are like £30, and they don't last very long. Like they'll last maybe a couple of months compared to the UpCircle one. So yeah, so that's what I've been enjoying. But I'm still very much learning what's good for my skin, because you know my skin doesn't like vitamin C stuff.
I shy away from that as well. It's too harsh.
Is it? Is that what it is?
I mean, because I've already
just doesn't like it.
Because I've got dry skin anyway, I have to be really careful about what I put on it. So my skin first and foremost needs to be hydrated, and it needs to be strong, like physically strong, to be able to get the benefits of ingredients that are a little bit more harsh. So things like salicylic acid I'll avoid, BHAs, all of that. I won't use chemical exfoliants. I did last year for a little bit, and eventually it broke me out, and that told me everything I needed to know. But I will go for like powerful ingredients, but they're powerful in different ways. So
yeah,
I'm attracted to things like hyaluronic acid. It just helps your skin hold more moisture. Things like niacinamide and vitamin E, because again they help your skin, you know, just
Vitamin E is really, really nourishing.
So the product that I use, which is kind of a bit like my secret weapon, and it's part skincare, part pre-makeup, is I got this for my birthday. It's the niacinamide dewdrops by Glow Recipe. Glow Recipe are, I think, a Korean brand, and they're cruelty-free. And their products are really fun. And this one, the niacinamide dewdrop, you can wear it as like skincare, but it'll make you look just glowy.
Oh, nice.
But it's meant to be worn under makeup. So I combined that with the Charlotte Tilbury Hollywood Flawless Filter, which is like a highlighter to wear under your makeup. And every time I put that combo on and I put the Fenty eavesdrops on top, my skin's like sublime.
Ooh,
so
nice.
That's like my combo.
Note that down, folks.
If you don't want to wear makeup but you want to look glowy, I would finish off the skincare with the niacinamide dewdrops by Glow Recipe. And they've got loads of other serums and cleansers and moisturizers which I want to try, but they're very good. And then a brand that I'm excited to try, but I haven't tried yet because I'm waiting for my products to arrive via Aja, because she had to buy them in America for me when she was there. It's a brand
I'm glad Peach that you told her, because I told you, I said to you, I was like, ask her if you need anything from there, because it's tricky, isn't it, to get some stuff here.
It is. So there's this brand called Peach and Lily, also cruelty free, and They're fairly affordable if you were in America. If you
Oh,
want them
yeah.
here, you have to pay for the import thing. So I would only do that if you were replenishing your whole stock of skincare for, like, I don't
Oh,
know,
okay.
a period of time where you didn't
Yeah.
mind paying that. Or if you've just got family out there, get it delivered to them and then they can send it to you, like, via normal, like, international post.
Post, yeah.
But yeah, I got Aja to buy it. I could have asked my mum, but she's been busy looking after
Oh, I
Nanny, so
know.
she's back now, so
Is she
she's back for a little
back? I
bit.
was just
Yeah,
thinking about her
she
today,
literally flew
weirdly.
back on Friday,
Oh, okay.
so I need to call her actually. But yes, no, Thursday, she no Saturday, Friday, Saturday, anyway, don't matter. Yes, so Peach and Lily,
Ooh,
they look
okay.
really good, so I'm excited to try a few things from them. And I will circle back here to
Yes,
let you know
to share what the
how
So
I
what
got
did
on.
you order? Let's like hear about
I
what you
can't even
ordered.
remember now, so
Really
I'll have to
just
circle
like get me
back.
all
I'm pretty sure
the
it's a new cleanser, and I think either a serum or a moisturizer.
things.
So we'll
Okay.
see. We'll see. I literally
Nice,
can't
nice,
remember.
nice. Yeah, I bought the Fenty Ease drops on your recommendation, and they're awesome. They're really great.
I
It's
love
such
that.
a light wearing. I think like for people who don't like foundation, but want to wear like a little makeup, to kind of freshen, like you know, just that
It
if you want
gives
to
you
look
that.
fresher,
It gives you that no makeup look. Like, it's
it does.
enough cover
It's
for me. It's
really
enough
light.
coverage.
Yeah.
So it, I feel
It's
like I've
light
got.
coverage, I would say.
It's light to medium if you wear concealer. Like, I put concealer on, like, under my eyes and maybe around a few blemishes. And if you put the eyedrops on top, it just looks like your skin, but,
Yeah.
like, healthy. Like, it's super
It's
gorgeous.
amazing how light it is and like silky. Like you can't feel it on your and what
It
I find is
melts
that
in.
it doesn't come off my skin
It
either.
melts in. Now, there's loads of
Yeah.
competitors which I'm curious to try. So Huda Beauty have, like, the Wishful one, and Charlotte Tilbury have just come out with something as well,
Oh,
which is
have
again light
they?
wearing. So there's quite a few competitors now because they've
I
cottoned
find
on
Charlotte
to it.
Tilbury quite expensive, I'll be honest. Like,
It is
I want to try some
expensive.
of it, but I find it when I look at the prices, I'm like, ooh.
So I only have one thing from them, which is the Hollywood Flawless Filter, and I love it. Like, I would wear it on its own with like a serum for just like if I wanted to just look glowy without anything. It's one of those that you would use it sparingly to wear under makeup, like you dot it around. So I think it would,
Yeah,
for the
yeah.
price, I think you could make it last.
Last, yeah.
But yeah, like, I don't go for, like, I don't the their contour, their blush ones, their contour ones, and their highlight ones look beautiful. I see so many bloggers use it, but I've already got enough stuff in my makeup collection that
Yeah.
I wouldn't go for that yet. So
Yeah.
highlight, I'm using a what am I using to highlight? I don't really highlight that much, but when I do, I use a Barry M one, which is great. It serves its purpose. I don't really contour. I just use blush because I've got kind of natural cheekbones. I don't need to do anything there, I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
Because I've got dark hair around my face and I've got a small forehead, there's literally no point in me contouring. I don't need
You've
to
got
look.
natural contour with your hairline.
Yeah, I don't need
Yeah.
to sort of put bronzer on my face. I don't think it just looks too orange. So I just use blush, and I'm a big fan of using liquid makeup products
Oh yeah.
as opposed to powders, because I just A, I've got dry skin, so it suits me better, and B, I just think it looks nicer.
I think it looks really nice. I've for a long, long time, ever since I must have been, I think 20-ish, 20, yeah, about 1920, when I discovered like Trish McEvoy's cream blusher. Ever since then, I've loved cream blushes and stuff. So I much prefer like things that are more
I love cream
moisturizing.
products.
I think it's just easier to apply as well. Like I feel like
It
it's
is.
much more foolproof, like if you want to quickly put it on. Like I love me a tinted moisturizer, so I've got my e.l.f. one at the moment, but I need to find another one because I'm finding it slightly too heavy. Weirdly, I think it wasn't heavy until I had the Fenty eavesdrops, which I really like, but I don't like them for every day. Like I wouldn't wear it every day. My tinted moisturizer's got like SPF in it, and so it protects my skin and hydrates as well. So
yeah, I put SPF underneath the eavesdrops, and again, shout out to Emma Hardy. I will live die by that primer for my entire life, because it's like SPF
30, I think, yeah. But it's really good. Yeah, it's bought great. That also on your recommendation, and I love it. Oh, and you know what? We should talk about the Stila eyeliner, because people always ask me what eyeliner I use. It's epic. It's the best one. I agree. So I really liked my other one.
KVD tattoo liner.
Yeah, which awesome.
Which is like one of the best. It's one of the best out there.
Yeah, it is. And then I stopped buying it because she was a problematic fool. But then now she's no longer.
She sold it. She sold KVD Beauty.
Yeah, quite a few years ago now. But I haven't gone back to it. But what I do want from KVD Beauty again are the matte drying like lip gloss lipsticks.
So the thing that I want to try from KVD Beauty is they've got an eye primer. It's clear.
Oh yeah,
I really want to try it.
We need that for all our glitter.
Yeah, I really want to try. I really want to try it. Also, what else do I want to try?
But the Stila eyeliner, it's the very fine one. It's like the 0.5, I think.
Yeah,
it says
it's a stay all day micro tip, and I've been using that for like 3 years now. And I always rebuy it because even when I stray, like I strayed and I tried some other brands.
Oh yeah, you did, and it was like clunky. Yeah, because I started off with the Yves Saint Laurent one, which was great, but I'm pretty sure it like discolored my eyelid. I still stand by that because I swear it discolored my eyelid. And then I moved on to the KVD one, and then now I've had the Stila one for quite a few years now as well. I think
I love
2 years.
Microtip one.
It's really great. It's so easy to put on. It doesn't smudge. I don't find that it.
It doesn't transfer
and it dries very quickly as well because it's very thin. Like you can put it on, you know, today I've got it on, but I've got it on very, very thinly. Like, but it can go, you know, you can do dramatic eyes with it and whatever.
Definitely.
So I love that.
I do. I love it a lot.
And then for our meaty sweetie, we forgot to ask people to do for shout outs. I forgot to do it in my stories, like I don't
me too
ask.
I totally forgot
but we thought we would do is give a shout out to some people doing good things in the world.
Yeah, so shout out to the Kill the Pill people for just being awesome and keeping on it. They organized with the other sort of factions a protest, so they took place I think in Manchester, I think in Cambridge and other locations. So shout out to them. They definitely got their voices heard. So yeah, keep on keeping on, keep on with the good fight.
Yeah, they're awesome. And you know, the Good Law Project, they're awesome as well. They're doing really good things.
Yes.
And who else could we shout out to that are doing good things? I thought of somebody before and I've had a
it's gone out of your
mind
brain.
Blank. Yeah, just gone out of my brain. But do you know what? Maybe we'll just shout out to people who have struggled with January being January and, you know, just all of the pressures that come with a new year and all of that kind of thing. And if you're doing even the smallest things for yourself, like, you know, whatever that is for you, I don't want to name things just in case, you know, because it looks different for everybody else. But yeah, just a shout out to you doing the best that you can, because you know what,
It's another year of COVID, and it's hard.
It's hard.
People, so good for
it
you.
Is, it's hard. It is
for surviving and for thriving if you are in that space.
Yeah, exactly. And but do give us your shout outs, please.
And do follow us on Patreon. We both have Patreon, so come and find us. Come and seek us. See,
I do
come and
seek love us my Patreon.
Yes. Sorry, I was just quoting. No, it's Harry okay. Potter.
I know.
We I'm do. A geek.
I know. I love being a geek with you, though. It's so good. It's so good. Oh, my God. I put my hand up, didn't I? Like I'm still in school. Hello, miss me.
Yes,
insecure.
Insecure. You need to talk about insecure.
Just very quickly, I'm just going to... I just fucking love it. I just feel... It just gives you so many feels because... The thing is, like, although, like, they have, like, romances and work stuff and whatever, but ultimately it's about friendships, right? And I just think it's so beautiful. It's such a tender, joyous, loving look at friendships and, you know, those kind of relationships. And actually, relationship with yourself as well and kind of growing from what we go through and things. And it's just, I've literally finished it last night and I'm just gonna be rewatching from tonight. Yeah, like that's how good it is. I just love it. I know a couple of people have had like some discussions around like certain characters and stereotypes and yada yada, but personally I it's not that I don't agree, because you know, it's your opinion, but or like you know, specifically somebody who identifies with a particular character, like similarly to the character, but I feel that's like not what I saw and what I got from it. So
yeah, it's interesting when we watch things, we get different things from it. It's funny, I was talking to someone about, we were watching, well, I watched The Eternals back the other day.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The Eternals got slated, like, people absolutely hated it.
Yeah, they did.
I really enjoyed it because I really enjoyed the fact that Gemma Chan was centred. And someone described her as sort of drab and, like, you know, like mopey. And I just felt that it was such a... I found that really hard because I found her to be exactly probably what I would be in that situation, where you've got leadership thrust upon you, but you've also got immense power, and it takes a lot to face down old narratives, undo them, and then face into your
and
power.
And sometimes you're not that like loud or powerful woman like leading the charge and
exactly.
all of that.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
You don't have to be traditional, quote unquote, badass.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes victories are smaller and quieter, and they are just as valid and just as honourable and just as worthy of celebrating as like the louder ones. Like it doesn't matter how that victory kind of happens. It's, you know, it's for you to judge and for you to kind of gauge how that should be celebrated, but it's worthy of celebration. And I will say one thing as well about The Eternal. So I know it got slated and stuff like that. And to be honest, like, firstly, I see it as very much as a starting point. So I didn't expect a lot of depth.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're introducing you to a lot of characters. So I knew it was going to be an introduction. It's a starting point.
Yeah.
Like the first Avengers movie, like, come on. Like, it's shit. Like, it's not shit, but it's not like... Oh my God. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, but I mean, like, I think when you... I find it funny that, like, a cast that has a lot of people of colour in it and people have, like, more issues with it and are like, meh, 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 and whiny about it. The second thing I was going to say is, like, that Zora loved it. And she saw herself in some of the characters. She really thrived watching it. She loved the stories. She loved the kind of magic epicness of them coming together. And she's so excited to watch it again. And we've like bookmarked a time like where I said like, yeah, we're going to watch it together again. And so that, I can't dismiss that either.
Yeah, exactly. There was a lot that I couldn't, there's a lot that I took from it that I can't dismiss.
Same.
It's interesting, really, because the person, you know, they have a different perspective and they are white, and it is just kind of, you know, and they're entitled to their opinion. I don't take it away from them. Mm-hmm. The internet is wild, and sometimes it loves to suck out the joy when there's still so much joy to be had. There's still so much to take mm-hmm. from it.
Yeah.
It goes beyond just a diverse cast.
It does, because I really truly did enjoy the characters. They were all very individual and funny, and I really enjoyed it also. And you know, even, you know, how much I've slated And Just Like That, I personally deplore it, but I read like I honestly think it's like getting blood out of a stone watching these like dry ass, stale ass characters and whatever. However,
but that's when you know it's been written by someone white, for sure, and directed by someone white. When you watch The Eternals, you can just feel that it's been directed by a woman of colour. Yep. You can tell it's been directed by a woman.
I think that's the other reason that it got a lot of criticism, because yeah, they were like, oh, but it's nothing like her other movie. And you're just like, but it's not meant to be.
Genre. Does a great job with it. I love how she puts Gemma Chan front and center. Her character is Cersei. I love the face off between the white man and the patriarchy.
Yeah.
And if people, and I love the fact that the tech guy is a Festos, he's portrayed as gay. I don't want to say if he is, he could be bi. I don't know.
But
he has a partner.
They've said that he's going to be... Yeah, no, that he is queer. Yeah. I think there's going to be a spin-off movie.
Just with Festus?
I believe so. I think so.
I love that.
I think so.
I would love that.
I think I read it somewhere.
You know, and so I enjoy that. I've enjoyed that. And if... So I... Other criticisms aside, I just kind of think if that's what you're centering, then you didn't get the message of the movie. You didn't get it. And maybe you had just, maybe there's a bit of a way to go so that, you know, to see that.
No,
I
agree. And my daughter saw it. And that means a lot to me for her to sit. And like, if I know that, you know, again, going back to honouring art in a child, like if little Ritha had seen that,
if little Rabbi had seen that,
Power Rangers used to be like, you know, the goal because they had some representation in there. But
I'm sure when we used to meet, we used to pretend to be Power Rangers.
Yeah, I was always yellow Power Ranger, obviously.
I love that.
And oh, until like, you know, remember when the Black Power Ranger joined in, then like that was super cool. But yeah, sorry, I was just gonna say, like, you know, about And Just Like That, like, even though I deplore it, I read you know, Poona Bell, she said
about the grief,
and that for her,
about
she got that as a widow herself. She could resonate with the show, and I would never take that away from her. I would never say, yeah, but it's shit.
Never.
But like, I can say, yeah, it's shit. I can still think it's shit, but at the same time, I can also think, do you know what? I would never diminish her experience or what she got from it just because I didn't enjoy it. Like, do you know, the two can exist at the same time. Multitudes exist in the world as well as within ourselves. So there we go. Watch all the shit TV. Watch anything that you want to watch. Okay, if you get something from it and you feel seen in whatever way or held in whatever way, then, you know, go for it.
exactly. And I think it's important to talk about it because not everybody will have the same perspective. And in that moment, I didn't really have the words to communicate like how I felt about the film or how I disagreed with some of the criticism.
Yeah.
So it's kind of good to be able to just sort of get it all out. I was just too tired to come up with sort of counter arguments at the time. You know, when you're just like,
oh. Do you know what? Sometimes, and I felt exactly the same. And a part of me also was a little bit sad because I was like, oh, but I really enjoyed it. And you know, like when you kind of felt to feel a little bit of shame just because like things aren't cool or like.
Exactly.
And you're just like, well, no, actually, I've always liked things that are slightly uncool and I don't really care because
definitely.
That is part of me. I don't mind.
But I think there's something to be said, like if you're white and you didn't enjoy The Eternals, but you enjoy Spider-Man, which is three white dudes, basically.
Yeah.
And it is a fun film and it's lovely.
I loved it.
But you don't, you know, I have a problem with the fact that I want more of Zendaya in those films. I know it's Spider-Man, but like, she hasn't played a lead in a film yet.
But that's funny because you know what, to me she always stands out as a lead because
exactly,
I see her
because of her energy and her magic.
Yeah,
you know,
I loved Spider-Man though. Oh, I did love it.
Yeah,
I did
too.
Love it. It is a more superior film to Eternals in some ways.
It's different.
I know it's like part of the same sphere, but also it's very, very different. It's like an accumulation of so many stories, like, you know, coming to the fore and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do really love Zendaya's character in it as well.
Me too. And I love her as MJ.
She's just so relatable. Like, she just reminds me of, like, some of my cousins and stuff, like, or, like, even my niece, to be honest. Like, she reminds me a little bit of Rahma. And, like, you know, like, cute or critic. And it's just so sweet. Oh, I don't know. We'll have to talk about it off because I don't want to give spoilers. Oh, I really
so
enjoyed
good.
It.
I know I already gave the Spider-Mans because I gave it away because I was talking
No, it's okay.
Three white dudes.
That's okay because there are many white dudes in that movie. Come on, let's be real. Three white dudes is, like... So many
multiple.
There are so many.
You're going to
be talking about.
I'm going to be talking about the villains
exactly.
So that's your lot.
You've had it and then some. But thanks for joining us for another episode. And I hope you feel seen and loved from afar because we do love you and we love. That you listen. So please listen and share and review, and if you haven't reviewed, please review us because it goes a long way, and join our Patreon.
Ta-ta for now.
Au revoir.
Bye.